listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday's edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm being broadcast through the facilities of ShakeAndWakeRadio.com, the Truth Be Told Network, and I'm not sure if I'm going out on People's Internet Radio yet or not, but if so, welcome to the show. I always like to start with a plug for the station, guys, because we are people are putting in a lot of time and effort and a little bit of money out of their pockets to bring these programs to you. So if you appreciate what they're doing, please try and throw them, like I said, a cup of coffee a month. That's not much, but if, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 people send a cup of coffee every month, that would help carry all the expenses for these stations, and it would be much appreciated. I also like to start my show by thanking my producer, because I always forget at the end. Thanks, Steve, for what he does for me. Great man, and been putting up with me for I don't know how many years now. He has got to have a lot of patience to put up with a guy like me, so thanks, Steve, for what you're doing.
Going on four, Barry.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, you got a lot of patience, my friend, and I do appreciate what you do for me, Steve, immensely. And, you know, today I got Ron Stevens back in, and people are always going, why haven't you got Ron back in, Barry? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? Get that Ron Stevens guy back in. So I guess, you know, some people actually, they're like, listen to you talk, Ron. So here you are back on The Big Puzzle, and it's always a pleasure to have you in, my friend.
And it's always a pleasure to talk to you and Steve. Both of you are good men, and there's no doubt about that. And you know, we have some work to do, and we're the ones that have the solution, and we have to put the solution in place. And what I'm telling the students and that and other people is that when you look at it, and this goes for America as well, is that you know, who built everything in the country? We did. And that makes it what? Our country. It doesn't belong to the stupid politicians. It belongs to us, the people. And we, the people, have to learn to accept the fact that the country belongs to us, not them. And that they're all liars and deceivers. So why would you allow liars and deceivers to be your so-called government?
It's called brainwashing. It's called brainwashing. It's what they do to people right from the time they're born.
I don't understand how people don't understand.
I ask myself that question every day.
Yeah.
I'm asking myself that 50 times a day. Why can't people see what is going on in front of their faces, Ron? Well, it's pretty obvious what's going on in our country right now. You don't have to have a great education to figure out that we are in the midst of a complete communist takeover of our country.
Well, what Bertrand Russell said, because I've been telling people for years and years, what are you taught in school? Nothing. The only thing you're taught in school from kindergarten to grade 12 is to don't question and don't challenge authority. And it be your teacher, your principal, your vice principal, or even the hall monitor. The hall monitor, who's still a student, comes up and tells you, you can't walk this way on the hallway. And the students just bow down to it. By the time you're an adult, that's so ingrained in your head that you don't become an adult. You remain as a child. Mentally, you're children. And they tell you what you can and can't do, and you just say okay. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. But like I love what Bertrand Russell said. It was just so sweet. You know, man was born ignorant.
Yeah.
He was born ignorant because there's nothing in your head. But He was made stupid through the education system because they created it, and they only teach you what they want you to know. And we have to get the kids out of the education system and put them into community schools so they learn the truth, not eating up the lies and the deceptions.
My daughter right now is actually really going through a bit of a tough situation here because she is going to pull my granddaughter out of the school system. She's going to homeschool.
Excellent.
It's going to be Ron, it's not easy because, it's not going to be easy for her. But she knows what's going on in the school systems. Now in British Columbia, they're talking about mandating masks for five-year-olds in school. This is absolute insanity, Ron. Absolute insanity.
We went to a mall in Kingston when I went down to see Chris because his phone wasn't working. And it was a hell of a big mall. And he had a mask in his hand. And he said, "Are you just going to stay in the car?" And I said, "No, I'm going to come in the mall." He said, "But you don't have a mask." And I said, "I don't think I need a mask." And we no sooner got in the mall than a security guard came up to us and started harping. And I just told him, everybody else has a mask. I don't need one.
They're all protected.
Yeah. And after we talked for a few minutes, he said, "Oh, okay." And then when we were downstairs where the phone thing was, another security guard came up to us. And told Chris to, your mask is below your nose. And that's no good. And then he looked at me and I didn't have a mask on. He started harping a little bit and had a little chat with him. And he said, "Oh, okay." And what really blew me away was there was a lady in the store across from where we were. And she was working there. She was probably in her 50s or so. And she didn't have a mask on. And I just went into the store and I said, "You know, you're a very wonderful woman." And she kind of smiled at me. I said, "You obviously get it, don't you?" "Oh, yeah." Right. And that's the whole point. I mean, why are you bowing down to these people? But what Chris told me, he says, "You are so calm when you're talking to these idiots." He says, "I tend to get angry." I says, "No, you don't want to get angry. Right. Have some fun with them. Right. Because it's all just psychology. Right. And you're smarter than they are. So you just twist them around and they don't know what the hell to do. And they just go away."
I got a notice up my screen here, Steve. Am I going out on the air right now? It says something went wrong with my Skype.
You're on Shake and Wake.
Okay. No, I got a notice here from the screen, so I'll ignore it. Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Ron. I see people riding around on bicycles outside with a mask on their face.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more? We need a vaccine for stupid. We've already said that many times on our shows that we really need that because people just are not using their brains in any shape or form. This thing has really, really gotten out of hand. But what the government has done is they've put out test kits. And these test kits are telling me exactly how many people in society are going to conform without asking questions. How many people are going to jump when they say jump and bark when they say bark. It's like training a little dog. You know, they've got the little dog well trained now. Of course, once they got them well trained, well, you got to bring in an election because it's the perfect time to do that. Everything that we do, it makes absolutely no sense at all in any shape or form. But don't question us because we are the experts. This whole mask charade, buddy, I haven't put one on, with the exception of once that I had to, because they would not let me in. Absolutely no way were they let me in the door of the dentist's office if I didn't darn a mask. So I went and got a towel at home. I cut myself a bandana. I put the bandana on and I walked in the door and they didn't say a thing to me. The level of stupidity in society. You know, people got to realize, you got to challenge these people with masks on in a very nice way. I got to admit, Ron, you know, I've been talking to people about this for a long time, and I've got to be honest with you. I find it very, very difficult to control my temper with these people at this point.
Well,
just let me finish what I'm saying here, brother, because I to be able to remain calm like you do, I try and do that. I really do. I try and come across with good information, you know, take a look at it. Just go find out for yourself if there's any credence to what I'm saying. But when you have individuals in society that aren't willing to spend a few minutes on a computer and look up this stuff for themselves, but will come down and recite CBC bullcrap every morning. And they go to bed at night reading and understanding that what's on CBC and CTV and Global is the absolute God truths of what's going on in our world today. And if you try and break that bubble in any shape or form, they almost get violent. I got people calling me, oh, you're one of those anti-vaxxers, aren't you? I go, what? I beg your pardon. Well, hey, Ron, we're in 1937 Germany, and people don't realize it. Go ahead.
Well. What? I used to get angry when people would be like that, but then I realized that they're stupid. So why would you get angry at a stupid person? They're so easily to. I mean, they're already mentally manipulated, right? Because they believe in these lies. So they're not too bright. So you don't have to get angry with them because there's really nobody home.
I'm just being honest, buddy. I do.
I know.
I guess it's a level of frustration I have with some people in society that claim to be intelligent individuals that they tell you they care about their family and their grandchildren. They love their grandchildren. They talk about it all the time. And yet right now we have forces working in this country that are going to completely destroy, and I honestly believe this, that everything that we love in life is under threat now. And if they're allowed to go on for much longer, I'm going to stay positive and say we're going to win this. But if we don't stop this fairly quickly, we're going to lose it, Ron. And that's my honest
belief. Well, we are
going
to stop it.
We have to. We got no choice
about it. But
we got no choice.
You know, do you remember the precautionary principle?
Run it by me.
Mark Lalonde.
Run it by me.
Another dirty Canadian. What they did was, like, with climate change and this COVID thing, they're not real. But they came out with the precautionary principle so that they didn't need any evidence, okay, behind what they were doing.
Right.
This is going on, so we have to do this to stop what's come. But it's all based on the lies and the deceptions, not on fact, right? There's no fact involved in it. And Kathy, when I went to visit her yesterday, she pulled out a book for me that she has, and it's a PDF. I'll send it to you. It's, I think, 77 pages or something. But Mark Lalonde was absolutely involved in bringing this precautionary principle forward in the 70s.
Okay.
So that the scientists and the government and the legal system could make up whatever they wanted to make up. It didn't have to be true. Didn't have to be any facts behind it.
Right.
And once they did that, then they had the right to come up with a solution to the problem.
Of course. And then they had the media behind it.
Which is a non-problem.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send that to you.
Please do.
And you can look through it. And I'll look up the precautionary principle as well for it. But no, that's what they were doing. They just make stuff up. And you say, got any facts? Well, we don't need facts because there aren't any facts, but we have to fix the problem. And you go, what are you, nuts? You know, like this is thing that I didn't read. I haven't seen any news for like 4 or 5 days now because I've been on the road.
Right.
But this just about made me puke. In Manitoba, Winnipeg has its first Egyptian soccer team, a dream come true. So, you know, it's not like you got a couple black guys on your team, right? This is 100% Egyptian team playing soccer in Winnipeg.
Cool.
Which is
that's
no
great
good.
For a culture, man.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's not.
Of course, I'm being facetious, Ron, trying to add a little humor to the insanity.
Yeah. But I can't tell you how many people I talked to out in the countryside. I was just so happy with them because they seemed to understand the whole game. And there were, you know, people in their 50s and 70s and whatnot. But they know it, right? I was talking to one guy. I got lost out in the bush and cutting across, and I stopped and I said, am I on the right road? And it was him and another guy. And we talked for about a half an hour or better. And he used to live in Guelph, Ontario, in Aurora. And he said he got so fed up with the bull crap, you know, running around his neighborhood and that he moved up in the bush. And he's just happier than happy now.
You know, exactly.
He's got a nice big garden. He says, I'm growing real food now. The food ain't poison and so on and so forth. And,
well, you've still got the community spirit in those.
That's the thing about out in the countryside. These people.
That's what I'm saying, Ron. You got it still. You haven't been. It hasn't been taken away. Where, as in a city, you know, nobody knows their neighbors. If they do know the neighbors, they've got some kind of a grievance injected into them by some kind of bullcrap coming from the government, or maybe they're a Leafs fan and that guy's the Montreal fan, and they're ready to kill each other. You know, absolutely frivolous reasons to divide society, but they put so many of them into society. You can pick your division of the day, man. Which one do you want? You know, because we've got a million of them, and we're coming up with some more now. You know, like I said, I was for the first time in my life called an anti-vaxxer. I'm going, well, what?
Well,
okay, I sign me up because I'm an anti-vaxxer.
I had a young guy. There was some students there, and there was a young guy. He's probably about, I don't know, 11 or 12. And I was going in to get a coffee, and he says, you have to put a mask on. I said, no, I don't. And he says, well, everybody has. No, they don't. There's no rules or regulations. And he said, so you've been double vaxxed? No. I hope the hell you haven't been, right? You know, but we got talking and that, and some of the other students started explaining to that guy what the hell was wrong. But what you brought up about, you know, about Montreal and Toronto, you nailed it, because it's all about divide and conquer.
Of course.
You know, if you read the Toronto Star or you read the Toronto Sun, these two people can't get along.
Well, if you take a city and take how many different cultures and how many different nationalities now live in the city of Toronto. How many of these cultures and how many of these nationalities hate each other? Now you've put them in a big city like Toronto. You're mixing them all up with the base community that has absolutely seen society go upside down in the last 30 years. Because I've seen Toronto go from one of the greatest cities in the world when I was growing up and living in that city, Ron. It was an awesome place to live. It really was. There was none of this stuff that you see today, it's been brought into society to, of course, divide society. And now you look at Toronto, you've got a hodgepodge of all these different cultures, all these different religions, and you're telling them to get along. It ain't going to work, folks.
I was
told it's destruction of culture. Go ahead.
I was told there's 200 different languages in Toronto now. And when we were teenagers, we used to go down to Toronto quite often. And it was a beautiful city. And we had all kinds of fun there. And I had to go down to a couple of meetings in Toronto. And I couldn't even acknowledge this was the same city. There was nothing there that seemed the same. You know, there was so many different kinds of people there. It was off the charts. And I'm not a racist. I can get along with most anybody, but I don't think a lot of these people even understand what's going on. You know, they purposely create the wars and destroy the cities. And then the people don't have anywhere to live and their food's gone. And then we hear, we should bring them into our country, right? Mm. Well, it's all part of the game, right?
And, United Nations Mass Immigration Pact being followed to the T right now by multiple countries in the world, Ron.
Yeah, Go ahead. I'm not so sure most of the people that come here even know what the hell was going on in the background, you know? Mm. And, I like when you said that about, because I was a Montreal fan and my dad was a Toronto fan.
Oh, we hated each other, man. Montreal fans.
Well, we
hated
guys, each
man.
Other, but when the hockey game was going on, we had some problems. You know?
How can you like a team with a name like Habs, man? Come on.
Yeah.
when you got a team that's got a leaf on it, what would you be like, a Hab or a leaf? What is a Hab anyways? Somebody explain that to me.
We were sitting in we went to see a lawyer that I have had on the show a couple of times or five times or whatever from Kingston. And so Chris called him and I thought we were going over to his house, but we were driving down the street and Chris said, well, there he is. I go, what? And there was, he was sitting at a table on the lawn outside of Starbucks. And so we stopped and sat down and talked to him. And he's a lawyer, which is not good, but he's a decent guy. And, you know, I had a smoke in my hand and I sat down and he says, you might get in trouble for that. Why? Well, I don't think you can smoke on the lawn. I'm outside. Right? Like, give it up. But we got talking about the legal system and that, and he's trying to make a few excuses here and there, right? And but I think he understands the legal system is a complete fraud. And you know, then we went to see another friend of Chris's who's a truck driver. He's been driving truck for 35 years and training truckers. And you know, he says, I'm one of the few white guys left driving truck down here, right? He said, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then my wife told me that most of the truck drivers that deliver to the store she works at, they're not white, you know. And so we have to there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, your town's what, 20,000 people or something?
A little less than that. Well, if you take Thornhill and Terrace and add them together, you're somewhere close to 20,000 now.
Yeah, and and I'm sure that you have quite an array of different kinds of people there now.
More and more showing up all the time, Ron, and that's very noticeable in our community. And I'm not a racist person. I'm just making an observation that we are getting a lot of people coming into town, and they seem to be coming from one demographic in the world. Go ahead.
Well, the same thing here. I mean, our town's only 7,500 people. And the number of Muslims and Chinese and Japanese and all these different people were here in the summertime. And my wife said, well, after they must have just wanted to get the hell out of the city or something. But after summer's over, they'll all be gone. And they're not.
You know, if we have these conversations, Ron, we're instantly labeled racist, Islamophobic by the left. And but you know what? These conversations need to be had, because what we're seeing in Canada is a displacement of the existing population. When that's, you're bringing, well, between illegal immigrants that are coming into the country right now, and, you know, the country's just wide open, come across the border, we're going to look after you. Welcome to the land of milk and honey. Between that and the foreign workers programs that are in place right now, the foreign student programs that are in place in Canada, it's over 1 million people are being brought into the country every year. And those people are not leaving when they get here. If you keep bringing that kind of population into the country, say that, you know, Trudeau gets another 4 years in power, which would be hell on earth. But if he does, how many more votes has he bought in that 4 year period? Well, are we ever going to be able to get him out of there? It's a numbers game, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, but I mean, you're absolutely right. It's about the eradication of our people. Like Mulroney is working with that one group that wants to increase the population of Canada to 100 million people. Mm-hmm. And, well, I don't see any European immigrants coming in here.
None.
Yeah, absolutely none.
None. Why is that, folks?
Yeah, exactly. Why is that?
Of course. You know, it's part of the agenda. We know that. We know how that works, Ron. We just talked about it. And people got to realize that, you know, this isn't that we're not. I'm not a racist person. This country was built on immigration. But when those immigrants come to this country in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, there wasn't a welfare check waiting for them. There wasn't a check waiting for each one of their children for $600 per month. There wasn't all these gifts and freebies given by our government on the backs of taxpayers when you walked in the door. Who wouldn't want to come to a country like this when they know what's going on? Of course. And Trudeau is flooding our immigration. He's making a mockery of our immigration system right now, a complete mockery. But if it doesn't come to a stop, Ron, we're going to be overwhelmed. And it's not going to take long. Let's go ahead, and then I'll let you say something. Then let's factor something else into the equation when you finish. Go ahead.
Well, it's just what you're saying. Like immigration is a federal, the feds look after immigration. But Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, London, all these major cities all became sanctuary cities. In other words, they're bypassing the federal laws of immigration. Mm-hmm. So none of these and why didn't the feds go and talk and say to Toronto, you can't make a sanctuary city to allow illegals in here, but it's all part and parcel of the game.
Of course.
Yeah. And so, you know, no level of government is working for our people. None. And
you're absolutely correct. There isn't anybody in government that's stopping against these agendas that are going forward right now.
And that makes every level of government in our country and America criminal organizations.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
But we're seeing the same thing play out all around the world. Almost identical agendas being put forward. What's going on in Australia, Ron, is coming here now. I've been getting links here, and I'm going to ask you about this. I don't know if you've seen this yet about, you know, the possibility of a complete lockdown of Canada. We know that Saskatchewan now is literally in a state of martial law because they have enacted, and it went through their parliament, that they've enacted the War Measures Act or the war. I forget the exact description of the act, Ron, but I know it's legit. I've seen the links on it. They're actually in a state of martial law right now as we talk. Is that going to happen to the rest of Canada? Now, is there pushback? Do you know something different about that than I? Because I looked at the official documents that were posted online about it from the government. So unless it's a big charade being played and these are false documents, I truly believe that's in fact right now as we talk. So is that going to happen for the rest of Canada?
Well, I read something, unless I didn't read it right, but I think it did. It was in Saskatchewan. Who is Mo the guy, the premier of Saskatchewan? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It was Saskatchewan that said that something along the line that if you refuse to be vaccinated, we have the power to take your house from you.
That's under this. Ron, you better go have a look at it. And I thought you might have read this already, but the link is on the internet. I looked at it and read a good part of it myself. It is basically a state of martial law where the government has basically taken all your freedoms away under the pretext of keeping the public safe from the incredible breakout of new cases perceived in the province of Saskatchewan. And that was signed on the 13th of September. No, I'll go find the document.
See,
I'll
post it for you, Ron,
but it's legitimate.
That goes back to that precautionary principle, right? We have to put in this martial law, okay, in order to save you, right, from all the problems from this COVID nonsense. And that's the precautionary principle that we have to, you know, we have to save you. But that, you know, and I know that that's the same action is that action that Mo put in there in Saskatchewan is directly coming from the WEF.
Of course. Which,
yeah.
Of course. All directives are coming from that same place right now.
Yeah.
Right. Everything that's going on. I mean, in British Columbia, Horvath is on the same program out here. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, if we don't have to get into a fight with these people. We just have to educate our people so they understand what the hell's going on and the threat to their children and their grandchildren. And then
everybody would be up in arms if we could get the information out to them, Ron. But we got the CBC. You know, people should be going down to CBC tomorrow, taking everybody out of that building and firing them on the spot and replacing them with people that are actually going to give Canadian legitimate information about what's going on. And then all of a sudden, all of this would disappear.
Absolutely correct, because when I talked to Alex Jones a long, long time ago, because I had all these farmers up here, you got to listen to Alex Jones. And I listened to him a couple times. I said, this guy's a player. What the hell you listen to him for? But when I called in and I said, you've been doing this for 14 years. And after 14 years, you don't have a solution. And, I said, you had the Million Man March. And what did it accomplish? Nothing. Now, if you took 60 or 100,000 people and walked into every state house and arrested everybody and then went into all the major news and radio places and took that over and you had the people who know how to use the equipment, all you would have to do, and this is serious, all you would have to do is simply say, we interrupt this program that you're watching to let the people know of America that America is back in the hands of the people and put them back to watch your show. And it's over. It's that easy.
100,000 people surrounded CBC and demanded accountability. We have to do something about the media in Canada. I mean, they're our biggest enemy. They are traitors to the people. They are not giving people any real information about what's actually going on out there. No. And they're being responsible right now for people dying. I hope there comes a day that they are held criminally responsible for what they're doing, Ron, because they're just completely communist organization doing the bidding of the government. We don't have any power to stop what this government is going to do here for the next 4 years. Trudeau got, 151 seats. You got the NDP over there with 25 seats, and the rest of the clowns all with a few more. He's got more than enough seats to put through any piece of legislation that he feels necessary in the next 4 years. What do you think is going to happen in Canada here, Ron? We are in for some very, very radical and some very crazy changes in our society. Maybe it'll wake people up, but this guy is completely out of control right now. Go ahead.
Well, I don't believe, they did, how they did this. They did it generationally. So they teach one generation one thing, next generation another thing. And that splits the generations. They're not working together. And we got to bring our generations back together. And once they're back together and solid and understand what the hell their forefathers came here for and what's actually going on, it's not going to be difficult to stop it. But the beauty of it is now that they are absolutely racing for the finish line. And as they race, and when you have your premier put in a, what'd you call that? Martial law. Mm. The people in the province are going to go, what the hell is this clown doing? And as they push harder and harder and harder, more and more people are going to wake up and they're going to understand that the threat to everybody in this country. And, as I tell people, our forefathers were strong with the spirit, mind, and spine. And the fact is that their blood is still coursing through our veins. All we got to do is reactivate it. And once that's reactivated and we have become as strong as they were, because they didn't put up with the crap, we have the power. When you look at it, I mean, how many politicians are there? Not many. Why would 38 million people sit down and allow these people to tell them what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and for what purpose? And we do have to educate the people in our communities. That's for damn sure. Because
Ron, if we don't educate them and they can't wake up to this, then we got a big problem on our hands.
Well, what I've always said, Barry, if we lose this, okay, it's not the globalists that are the guilty party. It's us,
of course,
because we allowed them to do what they did.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to write up now that I'm home. I'm going to write up a document and hand it out to the students so that they know that their teachers' pension fund here in Ontario is part of the WEF, and that the Ontario Municipal Employee Retirement Fund is a partner of the WEF, and that all of our banks are partners. And and get them to take that to their teacher and take it to their parents. And because we have to wake our people, we have to get the information to them. And once they understand what's going on and the threat, this is what I think is a real kicker. Once people understand the threat to their children and their grandchildren and that they have a responsibility to their children and their grandchildren, I think that might be a trigger to wake them up and say, no, we're not going there.
They better do it soon, Ron, because they're going to start sticking kids with this poison. And the fact that we're even thinking or considering doing that to young, healthy bodies is absolute insanity, my friend.
That's something else I've been writing a lot about.
This has been off, Ron.
Facebook sites on here where the parents are just freaking out because, where does the government get off on being able to vaccinate my child without the consent of the parent? And, I just tell them that, our mothers were suckered, okay? Our mothers were seduced into signing that damn registration form, and everything you register goes to the state and gives the state the power to make any rule or regulation they want. Like people with guns and that are going, well, the government can't just come and take my gun. Well, yeah, they can because you registered it.
Okay? So how do you unregister yourself, Ron?
Well, this is what we have to do. We have to become unincorporated. We have to get out of the legal system. we don't need to register anything to the government. But what they did, and some people are really getting onto this now, you know, they didn't tell our mothers. They offered our mothers benefits. Sign here at the crossroads. Mm-hmm. You get free check every month till your child's 18. The child gets free schooling, of which we indoctrinate them, and they can go to the hospital if they want. But they didn't tell tell the mothers what was going on. They offered them the benefits again. Have some benefits and sign here. But because they didn't disclose to our mothers what was going on, that it, you know, anything you register, all that you have is the right of enjoyment of what you registered, be it your house, your car. They make all the rules and regulations for it, but you have the right of you know, be happy about it. And but they didn't disclose to our parents. They didn't disclose anything to anybody that registered anything, right? And that makes it null and void because it's fraud,
right?
And fraud's both against the law and illegal. So you as a parent can tell the government to shove off, okay? You didn't disclose to the mother what was going on, okay? And that's fraud because you took the child and you're using the child when it grows up as an asset and a slave of the corporation because you signed a contract. You signed your kid over to the state, but they didn't disclose to you what they were up to. Therefore, it's null and void. Simple fact. And they don't have any authority. I mean, Kathy's husband, he had a service station down in Marmara, and he shut it down finally because he had enough of the nonsense. But some government guy came into his garage and telling him he can't do this and he can't do that and he has to do this and he has to do that. Like, who the hell are you to tell me what to do? Well, it's registered, so we can tell you whatever the hell we want to tell you. Same as Mo there with his thing he's doing out in Saskatchewan, because everybody's registered. And so the guy says, well, you're a registered company and you've got a sign out front. And that sign gives us the authority to tell you what to do. And so Jamie just went, I guess he had a big sign with, you know, the big post and stuff. He's went and picked up a chainsaw, and well, the guy was there, went out and just cut the sign down. There's no sign. Hit the road, right? And that's the kind of attitude we need from our people. You know, you can't tell me what to do. You don't have that authority to tell me what to do.
Yeah, but people have been conditioned all their lives to accept that, Ron.
Yes, but
get them to learn to unlearn is a very difficult procedure. Go ahead.
Well, no, because once people know that they have the freedom back. And that's what our forefathers came for, was to give us freedom, and it was taken away from us again, that once people, you know, you can do whatever the hell you want to do as long as you don't cause anybody any harm, right? Like, why do you need a license to go fishing, right? Because they took away our dominion.
Well, 100 years ago, there was no licensing. You could do whatever you want. Now you need a license to go outside and start up your car, man.
You didn't need a license plate on your car. You didn't need to register your car when the cars first came out.
Well, it's all about control. I was reading about that, Ron. Yeah, around the turn of the century, we didn't have any of this. No licenses, no fees, no nothing.
No,
and now you've got, I think, 98 different regulatory bodies grabbing money out of your pocket, man.
Exactly. And why are we going on a holiday? Crap. Right? There's no reason we should be putting up with that. And I just wish everybody would read Alice in Wonderland, because I was telling the lawyer when we were talking to him the other day, you know, I says, have you ever read Alice in Wonderland? No. I says, well, it wasn't a children's book. Okay. He wrote the book to try and get some education into the people. The legal system's 100% fraud, okay? Because you only have authority over what you create. And they did not create man or woman or child. They created the legal fictional person, which is absolute 100% fraud. And I said, if you go and look at Alice in Wonderland, she goes down the rabbit hole. She meets all these weird characters, but they're all happy little farts, right? And they're all doing their own thing.
Yeah, right? They own nothing, but they're happy.
Yeah, but they're just, yeah, they're just doing their own thing. They're not bothering anybody, and they're happy. And then when every time Alice saw the Queen's Guard come along, all these happy little characters went into a state of fear. And it's all about fear. Fear the climate change. Fear the COVID. Fear, fear, fear. And so, you know, eventually she went to the court. And that same rule exists today in the legal system. Mm. But she was going to give witness, and all her little buddies were there, and they made a new rule. Those who grow and shrink rapidly can't give witness. Mm. And guess what happened to our little friends? They went back into a state of fear. But
fear
Alice,
the virus, Ron.
Well, they knew Alice knew what the hell was going on. And then Alice just stood up and looked at the court and the police and the Queen's Guard and everybody and just said, you're nothing but a bunch of playing cards. You're a complete fraud, which they are. So why are we living in this fictional world that they built for us? It makes no sense.
Well, why would people go from 15 days to flatten the curve to allowing a segregated society to take foot in Canada, allow an experimental vaccine, and it's not a vaccine, but I'll refer to it as a vaccine so everybody knows what we're talking about. It's a gene modification. It's mRNA technology. It's killer technology. Would they allow that to be injected into their children or even into their own bodies? Why is it not made available to the Canadian public? The absolutely incredible amount of adverse effects that we're seeing from this injection around the world right now that's being reported, but it isn't being put out to Canadians. They need to hear this, Ron. They really need to hear that information.
Yeah.
We've got to get that out to them. We talked about it before. You know, folks really want to spread information. We've talked about this before, Ron, is to print it up on a piece of paper and hand it out, because we're in a situation now where we're so centered in Canada that anything we say against the agenda is immediately taken down. I put up a post there a couple of days ago about India and what's actually happening there with the COVID, the fact that they've given ivermectin to one community of 220 million people, where about 90% of them were given ivermectin, and forget the name of the community, I can't pronounce it, but they're basically 100% COVID-free.
Yeah.
In the whole country of India, Ron, the population, this is a fact, because I just looked this up this morning, but the whole country of India, 1.3.8 billion people, there is one, right now, as we talk, 199 known active COVID cases in the country. Yeah. I forget that works out to, they put the number on the air here this morning. I think it was 0.0000001% of the population or something like that.
Well, this is
it's a non-existent is what it is.
This is how dangerous COVID is. There's a small reserve north of me. I think there's about 800 people living there. And some people got COVID. And then I think it was 150 of them got COVID or something. And or in other words, got the flu. And so they went in and vaccinated them all. But then in no time flat, within 3 weeks, there was nobody. Everybody recovered from the so-called COVID. And then about last week, they said, oh, my God, the vaccines we gave the people were out of date. And, well, okay, so your vaccines didn't do anything to recover from the COVID. They just naturally recovered. And now they're going after the Native people again, that they all have to be shot at again, right? With a legitimate, or not legitimate, but a not out of date vaccine. And that's probably going to mess up more of those people than the out of date vaccine. But you know, if we can get the parents to understand that that their children aren't their children, you know, like I had guys say, how come when we go to family court, the judge always seems to be on the side of the mother, not the father?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because you, the father, didn't sign the registration form. You ain't got nothing to do with it. They don't even acknowledge you, right? Because the mother signed the registration form. She's the one that handed the child over to the state.
Hmm.
And you, the father, got nothing to do with anything. They don't even recognize you.
I always wondered about that, Ron, because I've been in family court a few times, and I'll tell you, it was so blatantly obvious who the judge was siding with in the affairs going on. It was absolutely almost ridiculous. how much she sided with the female. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard that from so many. I've heard that from.
Well, I've heard it from lots of other guys too, man.
Yeah, and they don't seem to understand. They think they. Well, I'm the parent. Why are they ignoring me? Well, you didn't sign the registration form. Just the mothers did.
Not changing subject on here, Ron, but boy, I'll tell you that, you know, Steve Garvey from the National Citizens Alliance, I think that's the name of the organization, was out testing all these new 5G powers that have gone up. Canadians better be aware of the fact that the levels and was right on monitors, verified by two different monitors on the site, that the radiation levels around these 5G towers now are anywhere from 5 to 10 to as much as 20% of allowable government levels. So I think that's something that people need to be made aware of, that these new towers are causing all kinds of high levels of radiation. The silent killer. I just wanted to talk about that for a sec because it was brought to my attention today, and pretty crazy. It was just another slow kill of society. Go ahead.
Well, that's the same. I mean, I never really got sick much. And I missed my vaccinations, I guess. But, you know, when they put the smart meter on the house, I got tinnitus.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah. And, when I looked at what the doctors are saying about these smart meters, it's the radiation, and, it can cause cancer and cause all kinds of problems. And when they put in these, like you said, the 5G towers that are emitting huge amounts of radiation, it's not about our health, okay? It's about making us ill.
Well, that's where they make their money, man. You got to make them sick because we got a new drug. I mean, I love these guys. They come up at least one new drug every week.
Yeah.
And of course, those drugs have gone through long-term studies, some of them as much as 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're being done by the companies that make the drugs. So, I mean, how could you ask for a better situation? They know exactly what they're doing, and they're exposing all that information. I mean, 4 weeks, that's a great study, man. And nothing could go wrong after that amount of time, can it, Ron?
Well, I gotta watch a video. I'm going to send that video to you, too.
Oh, my God. La world.
Chris came up with a video when I was down in Kingston, and I watched it, and my jaw dropped. Because they have, Gates is involved in it, and all the rest of the clowns.
Fauci and all the other clowns.
There's a new virus coming out after COVID.
Marburg.
And this guy. Huh?
Yeah.
Marburg.
That's it.
That's it. I heard
and
about
I
that,
haven't,
too, Steve.
I haven't had a chance to research it yet.
Tell us about it real quick, Steve.
Well, I haven't really found anything about it. I just know that the...
I thought maybe you had a little bit more information than me, because
I just
me a couple times.
I just know that the WHO...
Information on it yet.
The WHO...
Well, I'm gonna take a good hard look at that tonight and research it, because, you know, we're gonna whack you with this COVID thing.
And then we're going to bring out something that's got some bite.
With a new virus.
Yeah, and it'll actually have some bite.
He was saying that's...
But Barry.
Think about it, Ron. You know, the conditions... Look what they've done with a nothing virus, okay? It's a nothing virus. It's an absolute nothing virus. It shows you the power of the mainstream media. It shows you the power of all the technocracies and all the people that are involved, how they brainwash society to just absolutely go hide under the couch over nothing. So what's going to happen when they bring out something that's actually got some bite to it?
But Barry...
You're actually seeing, you know, people around you getting sick. I mean, they would have you right underneath their boot, and you would never, ever come out from underneath it.
But Barry...
And that's where they're going.
But Barry, there's new cases.
Oh, yeah, cases. Yeah, I know it's a case-demic, Steve.
New cases.
I mean, who cares if there's 10,000 cases? How many cases of flu every year that we never hear about? Because they're not reported, because it's not an issue. What's an issue is the bottom line. It's deaths. Deaths by flu every year. Deaths from COVID. Look at the numbers. They're almost identical. The only thing difference is the power of the media.
But you're scared, though, right?
Badly they brainwash society.
You're Ron, scared,
you
though,
think?
Right?
And we only got about 3 minutes left, buddy. The hour's going to go quick.
I mean,
knew it was going to go quick. Go ahead.
I mean, I used to use independent media back in the 70s, and it doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. By the end of the 70s, almost all independent media was gone because they didn't want independent media, because then they couldn't shove their stories.
Of course.
And we've had this ever since, and there's no you know, pushback from anywhere, except the mainstream media is completely controlled, and they don't have any pushback. That's why they got rid of the independent media, so that they don't have to, you know, explain what they're doing. And that's why I'm going to write up some stuff and give it to the students and let them go at it and see if we can get them moving, because I do believe that the students, from the number of students I've talked to, they're really ticked off, and they're not too pleased with their parents because they got suckered, and they're trying to wake their parents up now. So I'm just going to write up some usable information and give it to the students, tell the students to give it to their teachers, give it to their parents. And, we have to educate these people and wake them up, wake them the hell up. Mm. Like, who would, you know this, Barry, who in the hell would go and say, oh, we have this COVID thing. What's that? Oh, it's deadly. Right. Well, wait a minute. 99.9% of the people recover from it, or whatever the number is. How's that a pandemic? Number. Right.
Yeah.
It can't be a pandemic. And you want to shoot something in my arm that nobody's responsible for if I get harmed.
I have no recourse.
And you call it experimental. Wait a minute. You're going to shove an experiment into my bloodstream? I don't understand. I just don't understand how people have been dumbed down that badly.
Yeah.
But they have been.
They have. Because they're at a point now where they're calling somebody like me an anti-vaxxer. And I'm just going like, are you serious, folks? Have you got any idea what's going on around you? And of course they don't, because they limit themselves to what they actually expose for information. Well, we've got to change that.
I laughed because I was talking to a woman and she said, oh, you're one of those conspiracy theorists. So they vacuumed out your brain, eh? Mm. You know, like, what the hell? It's, but we're still going to win. I have no doubt in my mind we're going to win.
If we don't, I'm gonna die trying. Okay, Ron.
Well, so, we have, like I keep saying, we have a duty to our forefathers who came here to get us out from under the boot, and we've got a duty to the children. So you know, if we don't do what we need to do and we allow them to do what they're doing, then we're the guilty party.
Well, it's not should we, it's our duty to do this, folks. Period. All I can say, Ron, I'm going to have to let you go, my friend. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and I'll try and get you back in here in the very near future, and we'll carry on this conversation. Last thought from you, my friend.
I have a lot of respect for you and Steve, and we just got to keep doing what we're doing and wake them up, and we'll win. So
we don't have a choice, my friend.
No, we don't. We are at war. So
we are. So
you guys have a great day. Take care, and we'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely, Ron. Thanks again.
Okay. Have a great day, folks. Guys.
Okay, folks. I'll be back in 3 minutes or 4 minutes with a firecracker, Kellyanne Wolf. She's going to be telling us about things going on in Ontario and what they're doing with the children. We're going to be talking about the insanity of vaccinating children and everything else that's going on in the school systems. I'll be back in a few minutes with Kelly.
Rainforest, mist and mystery. ancient refuse of stars. Speak of a drowning. But this is something other. Busy monster eats dark holes in the spirit world, where wild things have to go to disappear.
Welcome back, second hour, and thanks again for Ron for coming in. Always enjoy talking with that man. He's got good information. Enjoys talking, and my audience loves hearing him, so thanks, Ron, for coming in. Second hour, I have Kellyanne Wolf in with me, and haven't had a chance to talk to Kelly for a while. There's been a lot of changes in our country since the last time we chatted. Kelly is a true warrior and a true patriot, and I just love this woman's courage. Thanks for coming in and sharing some thoughts with me today, Kelly.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Barry. I always love coming on your show. So there is a lot happening right now. Mm-hmm. I'd like to draw attention to everything that's happening at the Edmonton Legislature grounds,
right?
Particularly with Patrick King. So we've got our First Nations, our tribes, our we have chiefs and Canadians all gathering. Patrick King has put together an evidence package and filed a $3.5 billion lien on the government and all of the co-conspirators that are infringing upon the rights of everybody on this land. So
wow.
There's a lot happening.
I've been following that, Kelly, and I just kudos to Pat for what he's doing. He's a true warrior, and we could use about 20,000 Pats right now in this country because it seems we have a shortage of Canadian men.
I'm heading to Edmonton. I will be at the legislature buildings this Saturday.
Really? And are you driving across or flying? You're not going to fly. You're going to drive, right?
Well, I can't fly. They've already banned me from flying across the country.
Well, you're one of us.
I'm not allowed to take commercial. Go ahead. Sorry.
Wait a second. This is Canada, land of the free, home of the brave. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and we've got a government who believes that policy supersedes laws in this country, and that's just not the case. However, they have, big money has been changing hands. They've been stealing money from Canadians and from our signatories of the land in this country for many years, and to the tune of $332 trillion. And I believe that's just about $3 trillion in the last 10 years. And they're utilizing that money and paying big amounts to massive corporations like Air Canada and WestJet and all these airlines in order to do their bidding and enforce policies over laws. And that's what we're seeing across Canada right now with all these ultimatums with people in their jobs.
Unbelievable. And I think I didn't think I'd actually see this quick, Kelly, where we're in a society now where either you take this jab or we're going to take your job away. I mean, this is such blatant communism in our face right now that anybody that doesn't see what's going on, Kelly, that either they're cognitively distant, they just don't want to see it, or they truly are completely brainwashed to a point where they believe anything the government says. Because what's going on, anybody with any kind of level of intelligence can figure out what is going on in this country, that this is not about a virus in any shape or form. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. And actually, in the United States, there's been over 8,500 doctors and leading scientists in all the faculties of science, that all pertain to virology and viruses and biomolecular engineering, who have all now come out and declared that the United States government is now committing crimes on humanity. So I've been in touch with the doctor who led that declaration, and his name is Dr. Robert Malone. And actually, we just got in contact with each other yesterday on LinkedIn, and I'm going to be putting him in touch with Wayne Peters, who is the founder of Ethics Over Fear, and
love the guy.
Canada. So that yes, I love Wayne too. So that we can move forward and do the same thing right here in Canada. So right. Wayne is in touch with all of the tenured professors of science in this country, as well as all the leading doctors in virology and biomolecular engineering. And he's also created a website called Ethics Over Fear. So for every one of your listeners out there who is looking for some sort of, legal tool or lawful tool to use in defense of their jobs, I would suggest for them to log on to ethicsoverfear.com. They have drafted liability consent response letters to provide to your employers, at least to help extend your employment. You know, and in most cases, they work very, very well, and they will end up leaving you alone, and you'll be able to maintain and sustain your job.
Right.
So, to everybody out there, definitely log on to Ethics Over Fear. I mean, they're helping the entire country. It's so amazing the work they've done.
If there was anybody in the world right now that I would tell people to support, absolutely, is what Wayne Peters is doing. I get to talk to Wayne two or three times a week. Things that you're talking about, I'm privy to right now. What he put together with the Doctor series, folks, you got to go look at that. It's still available on Rumble. You listen to a few of these videos that he did with these doctors and tell me you'll ever stick anything like that in your arm and your body. It is absolutely incredible what the man's doing. I have nothing but total admiration for Wayne. I had him on last week, Kelly, and I'm going to get him on again in a couple weeks. But what he's done, he took time yesterday to sit with one of my members of the community here and took almost an hour of his time to really break it down, what they're doing with Ethics Over Fears. The legal documents that you can print now off that site and present it to people is absolutely astounding. The weapons are there, guys. We've got to use these weapons right now, because if we don't, they're going to completely silence us here in the very near future. So kudos to Wayne for what he's doing, Kelly. I love the man.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the man too. I have the most respect for him. So I got a little news for you.
Okay.
I was officially appointed as an ambassador, or other words, envoy of Anishinaabeg, Sultry, and Métis Indigenous Nation. Now, as an ambassador, sorry, my son's sneezing in the background. Bless you. So, as ambassador, I now have the lawful authority to represent and defend all Canadians in international court. And I can negotiate treaties, I can negotiate contracts with the Corporation of the Federal Government of Canada and other governments as well. So I'm working right now with the clan mothers of all of the signatory clan mothers of all of the tribes the original First Nations tribes in Canada. And we're going to be pulling in 50 of those clan mothers into the Edmonton legislature grounds, as well as we're working on having chiefs from all over the country attend as well. And they're going to be calling a meeting with the Canadian military. And we're going to be filming it. Pat King is going to be filming it. And that should be happening this weekend. Well, next weekend, sorry. It is still this weekend, but next weekend. And wow. We want to ensure that Canadians know that the military stands on their side, because we're seeing tactics being employed and deployed across the entire country. And it's really, right. really scaring people. And this is the government's way of forcing intimidation. Because as you know, last year, our Canadian military did a litmus test, and they were asked a series of questions. Multiple choice questions, and those questions contained, multiple choice answers as to if this scenario happened, would you defy your orders, or stand, with the people, or would you follow your orders and stand with the government? And 97.7% of all of our military declared that they would stand with the people
mm-hmm.
in every single one of those situations, which was fantastic. However, we do know that every single one of our institutions, has been corrupt to a certain degree, that you've got radicals in every single group. We do know that a lot of the higher in command positions have been paid to implement ridiculous policies, even on our military. But I do believe that our soldiers will stand beside us 100%. And I've spoken with many different soldiers, and you got to remember, we've got a lot of vets in Canada. And most of our soldiers come from family lineage of the same.
Right.
So, and when you have groups like Police on Guard for Thee, who have become so massive now. And,
unbelievable. And I've been watching that group. Go ahead. Yeah. They're growing crazy.
I'm so proud.
So am I.
And the active duty members that have joined have quadrupled. I mean, last time I spoke to Terry Hadar, she's one of the representatives out here in Ontario. She told me by 8,000%, that is the rate that active duty officers, both military and police services, are joining Police on Guard. And it's fantastic.
What I think it only took a foundation to start, where they're not alone, that
Absolutely.
They want to come forward. They want to come forward. They want to do the right thing, but they're scared. And all of a sudden now they're rising in mass, and the more mass creates more mass. And this is a wave that's growing right now, Kelly. And so it should. We need these people to stand for us. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I have to give that credit to Sergeant Paul Brown from Peel Regional Police Force in Ontario, Canada, because this was the gentleman, the one officer, who listened to me for not even 8 minutes and did not even hesitate when I told him that we've been trying to get the police on our side. And I was all over global news across the entire country. There was a video of me hugging him outside of Huff Gym in Mississauga.
I saw that.
That man is the man that set it off, because there were so many police officers. They were hearing what we were saying at all our protests across the entire country, and they didn't agree, and they knew it was wrong, but they were put in a position where they were sitting on the fence. And because of Paul Brown, and because he stood up and looked at global news directly in the camera and said, this is a violation of the Canadian Bill of Rights, and I'm going to stand up for this business and their right to open, and I'm going to stand up with these people because that is my oath. What he did, it was a butterfly effect.
Well, Mr. Brown, if you're listening,
all these officers,
I'm going to say, if Mr. Brown is listening right now, thank you, sir, and God bless you, because we need police to stand right now, and we're seeing it in mass. Finally, we're seeing the same thing with firefighters. We're seeing that with all kinds of organizations that I've seen just in the last little while here, Kelly, really starting to step up to the plate. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so grateful and so happy. I mean, even just yesterday, I went down to do a rally at Dundas Square, like we do on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And officers that I've interacted with for nearly 2 years now, the demeanor was completely different. I felt so good. They came up and it was just completely different. It was, we support you. We stand beside you. You have nothing to worry about. And they were wonderful. And they stayed outside of, out in the background, and they just mingled around, but they were actually paying attention to the speeches, clapping, listening, and they weren't just standing there like, you know, like drones in uniforms.
Like, you could tell.
You know, the humanity has risen, and their individual moral integrity has come forth, and that is all we were asking for, because, you know, policy does not override law. And once again, like Peel Regional Police Force, like Sergeant Paul Brown right now is facing being fired. The government is after him really hard for what he did. And Peel Regional Police Force in, you know, Brampton and Mississauga, Ontario, have declared that they are not going to respond to any calls for forced vaccination papers.
The RCMP just came out and made the same statement. Yeah, well, the RCMP came out and made the same statement.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, they made the same statement that they're not going to mandate vaccines for their members. So what's the government going to do now, guys? When we see this is so important what Kelly's talking about right now, because we've seen police in Canada completely acting out of control and abusing citizens. And now we're starting to see a shift, and it is really inspiring to see these people starting to stand up in droves, Kelly. It really is. And I applaud the men.
Yeah, you know what's amazing about all of this is, as detrimental as it has been to our entire society and our way of life, it's really weeding out the people that don't belong in public authority position. It really is. Mm. I mean, we've created a new association called the Canadian Democratic Defense Association, and I'm working behind the scenes with a senator-elect for the federal level. He's been nominated for the Senate. I'm not going to release his name right now because he prefers his privacy. However, he is running as an independent, and he believes 100% in our plan to train qualified and competent Canadians to run as independents on every level of government over the next 2 to 4 years, and ensure that they get elected to replace and kick out the
globalists,
the entire current government. Yes, we want the entire body needs to go. The whole structure needs to change. What we need to do is we need to begin constructing a constitutional republic. And what people need out there need to comprehend is, like, you've been sold this image of this illusion of democracy and what democracy actually is. Now, democracy is sold to us as a philosophy, and though it can be viewed that way, but it's very debatable, I would argue that democracy is more of a tool. And every tool that you use requires a set of strict rules so that you don't cut your fingers off. And the problem with democracy is that if it doesn't have a certain set of rules, then you can have 51% of a population making decisions for 49%. Mm-hmm. And that is not fair. That does not support individual liberty. And if we truly want to live in a society where you support everybody's individual liberties and freedoms to be who they are and believe in what they want to, then you need a set of rules for democracy. And those rules come in the form of a constitution. And the truth is, in Canada, we don't have a real constitution. How many people out there even know, you know, can recite our constitution? You don't know it. So how could you have ever consented to it?
Well, we have a de facto government.
So these are exactly. It is a de facto. It's a corporation.
Of course.
So you're an employee of a corporation. And this is the truth. And people really need to start learning what the structure in this country is so that we can work together to change it. We need to build a real government, one that is not a corporation that will sell your soul for a dollar. And that is the truth. Because
like
that is exactly
idea.
What's happening here. We've had, you know, and I know I always bring it back to the children, but this is the truth. Right now in Ontario alone, like Anthony Fury, who works with the Toronto Sun and Drew North and a whole bunch of other mainstream media outlets, has already written an article and released it in the Toronto Sun. Over 100 kids in Toronto alone have been admitted to emergency for adverse heart reactions after taking the jab. 100 children between the ages of 11 and 17.
Now they're going after the five-year-olds, Kelly.
5-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Didn't we wake up in a la-la land here?
a 13-year-old girl in Nova Scotia who chose not to take the vaccine was blocked from joining her soccer league, and she's a star soccer player, a young star soccer player. So she decided to take it just so she could do what she loves the most, and her heart stopped immediately. She's dead.
The cases of pericarditis and microcarditis in the country are skyrocketing. This is being censored from the public, Kelly. Yeah, but the whole tragedy of this is that the mainstream media is not reporting this the way that it should be reported to Canadians. And now, like I said, they're talking about giving a vaccine to five-year-old children. Are you out of your mind, folks?
Yeah.
Are you truly out of your mind?
Yeah.
Come on, Kelly. This
what
is
people need to begin
insanity.
Doing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what people need to begin doing is they need to start canvassing their own communities and collecting signatures to revoke their consent to be governed. Because your representatives, whether you voted them for them or not, okay, the ones that get elected, that your MPPs and your MPs, are taking it upon themselves to make decisions that don't support your best interest or the best interest of your children. You know, and I'm very proud, especially being in Ontario right now. I mean, we put together a couple of weeks ago 180 different teachers groups. And as of October 4th, this Monday, we have four brand new public schools opening up in Ontario that they're self-funded by these teachers and educators. And they have, they're opening these schools with no restrictions, no mandates, no forced vaccinations,
wow.
And the children and an upgraded curriculum.
Wow.
So
I wasn't
I'm
aware
very
of that.
Proud. Yeah. Anybody who wants more information about this group, I would log on to the Facebook group called Educators for Human Rights. And I would take their initiative and I would spread this across our entire country, because it only takes between 3 to 6 months to transfer the public tax contributions that go to the ministries of education into a brand new one.
They'd be
People
forced
need
to
realize
it.
That they have the power to reform and reconstruct our society if they just work together. And, and these educators are leading the way.
Boy, I'll tell you,
very
folks,
proud of that.
That is all. This is news to me, Kelly, and I thought I was on top of stuff. So all I can say is, wow, what an incredibly good idea, period, because the system as it is right now, my daughter is being faced with a dilemma of, you know, she's going to have to take my daughter out of the public school system because she sees what's going on. I say kudos to her, but, you know, she's been put in that situation now where she's got a homeschool because of what's going on in her school system. We've got to take that back, and we have the power to do that, Kelly.
Yeah,
the existing system, we could...
My son is doing distance learning.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is what you're doing with this, what you just talked about is a fabulous idea. But in the same mouthful, we do have the power to get into the school board, start becoming members, start changing the existing system. Whether that's feasible or not, I'm not absolutely sure, but I know if people get involved, the changes will come. It's like in our communities.
Every
if people,
method.
Yeah. It's like in our communities,
every
Kelly. If everybody in the town, people that really want to see changes in our community, if they got involved with the city council at the local levels of their government, the changes in this country would come, because you'd be able to block all the globalist agenda being pushed forward by citizens that actually believe in what Canada represents. There's another way that we can really, really push back. Go ahead, Kelly.
I'd like to invite everybody to go on to the website weareallessential.ca. There is a package on that website, and it's called Your Rights. And you can download that package and carry it with you if you're unvaccinated or you refuse to show your vax passport. So, you know, we don't discriminate against people if they've gotten the vaccine or not. You know, it's not a vaccine. It's an experimental gene therapy injection. But regardless of whether you got it or not, you need to know your rights. So there was one of the chiefs out in Winnipeg who had got his vaccine, and he does have a vaccine passport card. He went to a restaurant and he refuses to show it because it is actually against the law. It is against the law to ask anybody for their private medical information.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are armed with this package, when they call the police on you, the police will have to charge them with a crime for asking you. And we've had videos go viral from teams that we have developed right here in Ontario. I mean, we've got Jody Ledgerwood, and anybody can follow her on Instagram or Facebook, Dermot Pomeroy. You know, he's the founder of Game On Canada, and they're doing fantastic work. You could get that package from weareallessential.ca. and download it. And it's very important. And everything is highlighted for you so that you can know, so you can learn and know your rights. Because like this is about, if you allow a government to infringe upon your medical privacy, that means that you're allowing them to own your body. Now, they're already selling your body on the NASDAQ and the TSX every single day, Monday to Friday, from 12 to 4. They sell your, the number on the back of your birth certificate. It's, you know, if you're born in Canada, it's 9 digits, starts with the letter A, followed by, you know, numerical digits. That is an account number. That is an account number. You are sold as chattel every single day to other countries and traded.
Where's my money?
Your value goes. That's exactly it. The money goes in to, I believe it's called the Consolidated Revenue Fund. And every person born on this land has a valued share in the monetary value of our resource, of our natural resources. We are the richest country in the world in natural resources. So you can imagine most Canadians are worth trillions of dollars and don't even know it.
We should be getting a check every day, every week from the government, not paying a cent of taxes in this country.
Absolutely. We should never have problems with infrastructure.
We shouldn't have veterans on the street.
Educational funds.
Yeah.
No, we are paying. The only non-essential jobs that exist in this entire country are the government's jobs. But they're not essential. But they're not. Every other job in this country
is essential.
Feeds a family. You know, if you had a government position, you could feed 10 families.
How many small businesses have closed in Canada since the start of this scandemic, Kelly? The number is astronomical. Okay. And how many of those are going to reopen? A good percentage aren't. But big box stores are making billions.
The majority won't. They're making Canadians as dependent as possible on the government. And the government doesn't even, they're broke. So we've got, we're working on stuff with the signatories of this land, with the clan mothers of all the original tribes. And so people need to comprehend, like you guys, everybody out there needs to log on to the real Pat King right now on Facebook and start watching his videos. Right now he is interviewing, you know, chiefs and clan mothers, like the actual signatories of the land, the people that actually own the natural resources in our country. And you will learn so much important information, imperative things to know, you know, and we're bringing everybody together. And in order to kick the crown out, like Asmin Nation, that's who I'm an ambassador for. It's Anishinaabek, Sault Ste. And Métis Indigenous Nation has already filed in international court to have the Crown Corporation of the Federal Government of Canada removed from Canada.
That would be a good idea, Kelly.
we've already filed. Wow. It's in international court. So we're waiting for the date, and it's already been heard once. So as far as I know, we're just waiting for a date right now for the first hearing. But we are absolutely moving forward with this, and it is absolutely necessary. Now, the best way, and that's why we created the Canadian Democratic Defense Association, because we needed a method in order to transition from the corporative society that we're in into a constitutional republic.
Hmm. You mean a government that actually works for the people? Wouldn't that be cool? Because we sure don't have it now. We've got a big problem in Canada.
We do. We absolutely do. You know, and a constitutional republic gives everybody, you know, and electing an independent body, one body of government full of independently elected people gives everybody a voice. You know, partisan politics is part and partial to the division that is required in order to force tyrannical control over a society. I mean, look at what partisanship is. It's an example of, of division. Why? Because a unified people cannot be conquered. This is social engineering 101.
Of course. Well, they're the masters of
division.
Unified
people cannot be conquered.
Well, of course. Yeah. They're dividing us in so many different ways.
Oh, yeah, segregation. They're right out, flat out segregation. Look at Justin Trudeau. They shouldn't be allowed on airplanes and trains. They're putting us in danger. Shame on him. What a disgusting human being.
I don't have the words to describe that.
He is an absolute embarrassment.
He is. His brother's daughter. Well, Kelly, go ahead, but I got a question for you. How did he get 151 seats?
He didn't. They cheated again. Listen, Wilson Jr. beat him in the last election by 200,000 votes. You know, but the popular vote doesn't matter. And, you know, and that's why even with the last election, that's why, you know, myself and a lot of people throughout the freedom movement were just sat quiet and just let people rip. You know, because, you know, you're all counting on a house of cards that will guaranteed fall on you. Guaranteed. Yeah. You know, as strong as the northern winds blow, you know, there's no hope when it comes to the elections of a government that does not serve you. These different parties that you're voting for have their own constitutions. They don't even represent the constitution that you think they do, that you think is for you, that you don't even comprehend yourself. You know, it is a house of cards.
Mm-hmm. All it takes is one card to be pulled out, Kelly, and the whole thing will come crashing down. And
was pulled.
Yeah, and we know right now that they're gonna put the pedal to the metal right now, Kelly, because they know they're losing the information war right now. They know that people are rallying and coming together in ways that it's actually inspiring me to see what's going on in Canada right now. And they know they're going to lose this information battle. So henceforth, I see them really ramping up their agenda here in the next little while. What do you think about these reports of martial law being implemented in Canada in the next couple of weeks? Have you paid any attention to that? Or you got any thoughts on that? Huh?
Okay. My thoughts are, I laugh at it. Our police are not going to stand. No, our police will not stand for that. No. No, it's not going to happen. And number two, it won't happen because they don't have the manpower to make it happen. Even if they were to try to combine, you know, the ones that do follow orders, they still don't stand a chance. They're outnumbered by millions. I mean, look at Calgary. Like every single city, every city in Canada, every single Saturday now has between 10 and 50,000 people marching.
I've seen that.
That's over 3% of our population.
Yeah. So what's happening in Saskatchewan right now, then, Kelly? What's going on in Saskatchewan?
Well, Saskatchewan with these people, well, I'll say this, with the paperwork that was released. So first of all, the War Measures Act was repealed like right after the Second World War. So, and people need to comprehend there's some false documents that are circulating and they're circulating intentionally in order to scare people. So what has been invoked is the Emergency Measures Act, just like every other province. And people need to realize the only things, okay, first of all, an act is called an act because it is made to act like a law. It is not a law. So what makes a law? The people do. That's the only thing that can give a law any power or force is the acceptance and compliance of a mass population of people. And that is just simply not true. So, you know, like I can walk into your house, Barry, and I can tell you, you have to cook me dinner. Does that mean you have to listen to me?
Nope.
No.
I wanted to get your input on it because I'm, you know, I'm not getting drawn into it, but I've seen reports and I'm reading them and I'm going, well, you know, let's just kind of sit back and watch what's going on here because there's always false information being put out. But I've had some people that I do have a lot of respect for come at me and tell me that there is a little bit of bite to this. So I wanted to get your opinion on it.
Well, there's definitely pressure. I'll say that. There's definitely a lot of pressure. So, I got to put you on speaker for a second.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry, Barry. You're going to have to hold the line just one second. I'm so, so sorry.
Okay, I'm holding it. It's all right. Take your time.
I think she dropped off or she's got another call or something, Barry.
I think she's on another call for a sec. That's okay.
I'm back. I'm so sorry.
There you
go.
That
was my daughter, so I had to take it.
Well, we'll excuse you for that reason, okay, Kelly? It's all good. Don't worry about it. I know you've got family, so. How old is your daughter?
Yeah. My daughter will be 15 in November, and she's been staying with her aunt in Peel Region because they're not forcing the vaccines on the kids in schools. And she's fully prepared to fight her anyways herself. Now with my son, because he's younger, he can be coerced because he's young. So he's on distance learning. But my daughter has been staying with her aunt in Brampton because we live in Toronto, right? So that she can attend school with her friends.
Question for you, Kelly. On the short term here right now, people across the country are freaking out about the idea of their kids being administered a experimental drug in school without their permission. How do they push back immediately against that? I know the documents are out there.
Log on.
Yeah.
log on to the Facebook page, Educators for Human Rights. They have released a letter that you are to serve the school with that withdraws all of your consent in regards to the school's ability or permissions to put vaccines on your kids entirely. So, and they've released this publicly. This is a letter that has, and Barry, I can send you a copy of the letter so that you can put it up on all of your platforms as well.
I'd love to see
It's very, I'll send it to you right after the show. And and you can release that publicly to all the parents. And what you are to do is to immediately fill out this form. And tomorrow morning when you bring your kids to school, you serve this on video to the principal or the secretary immediately.
Okay,
so, and I would suggest
that
you get it notarized. I would pay the $20, get it notarized. You can do it online. You know what I mean? And have it notarized, print out that note, you know, have somebody, that way you have a lawyer and it's official and it's been served. So if anybody were to do anything to your child, against your consent, you will sue them. You will sue the board. You will sue the entire ministry. You will hold them criminally responsible. So, and this is what needs to be done. We need to protect our kids.
Yeah, we do. They're coming after our kids. What's
because
doing?
People's kids.
It's insanity.
Kids are already dying.
It's insanity. Kelly, it's absolute insanity. It's got me to a point where, you know, I have to remain calm when I talk to people. But I find it very difficult sometimes, like I said, in the first hour, to remain calm. Because this is so obvious what they're doing. If you look at the numbers, Kelly, and the numbers are out there and the numbers don't lie, you look at the amount of children that are actually affected by this so-called killer pandemic, the numbers are almost non-existent across the country. And that is a fact. And yet we are going to inject these experimental drugs into our children. It's gone beyond insanity. It really has. And it's got to come to a stop because they are going to kill our children. Go ahead.
Yep.
What else do you call it?
I believe that the mothers out here are the ones that are going to win this war. And we've been rallying mothers together. We have a group on Telegram, and it's called The Matriarch. So I would encourage every woman and every mother out there to join this group immediately. We've got clan mothers from all over the country that have joined and are guiding the women on what to do. And you got to remember that every single one of these clan mothers are also an ambassador to international court. So, you know, and we are going to bring the women together and file, you know, with the Nuremberg Code in international court. That is what we plan to do.
Wow. Well, it's time for Mama Bear to wake up, Kelly.
We need the mothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we could get Mother Bear pissed off, boy, I'll tell you, you'd see some changes come.
Well, Mother Bear's pissed off. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. Well, let's educate the rest of the mother bears, because that's what we need to do. The ones that are still in the dark, the ones that are still allowing their children to be vaccinated. Those are the ones we got to reach. And we do that. Yep. Watch out. Because there's nothing more dangerous than a mother who's protecting her child. Kelly, go ahead.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we are. I mean, one of the clan mothers just lost her nephew right after the vax.
I've heard many stories like that now. And you know what the tragedy is, Kelly, is that the mainstream media is not reporting this to the Canadian public. That's the tragedy behind it.
My girlfriend Cindy, 19 of her clients at work are all dead right after the vaccine. We had a couple in the northern United States, I think it was in Michigan, I'm not sure, so don't quote me on the location, but there was a couple. They went and got the vaccine. 2 weeks later, they died within minutes of each other, holding hands.
I have a friend in Vancouver, Kelly, that called me a couple weeks ago, and his sister, 41 years old, got the second Pfizer vaccine. 5 days later, she was dead in the hospital. It was a blood clot in her brain. And we know one of the biggest side effects of these vaccines, because of the spike proteins, are causing blood clots. Go ahead.
The evidence package that Patrick King has put together shows the evidence of what is actually in these vaccines. They actually have graphene oxide in these vaccines. And it's disgusting. And graphene, it's so disgusting. They're literally, these are made to kill you. And there was a recall from the doctors that declared crimes on humanity in the United States. you know, on all of the vaccines because they found metal shards.
Yeah.
And that's graphene oxide, metal shards. So if it doesn't kill you within the first couple of weeks, it's going to get you within 3 to 5 years.
Yep. And
this
of course,
mass genocide.
Well, of course, but you know, when people start dropping dead all over the place, it'll be a new variant. And of course, they'll have to bring out a new vaccine for that, Kelly. We can see the play being played out in front of us. It's obvious where they're going to go, that we're never, ever going to be out from underneath the boot of tyranny if we don't put a stop to this right now. We still have time right now to stop it.
Well,
and what you're doing and what you guys are doing, I just applaud you. Yeah. Kelly, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Yeah, well, England, data has now been released from England showing that the rate of people who are dying, that are being claimed to be dying of COVID, are actually dying from the vaccine. And doctors are now coming forward and showing this real data, and they're losing their jobs to do it. They're losing their jobs. They're giving up their careers to do it. So are you telling me that hundreds of thousands of doctors around the world are just voluntarily giving up their jobs to spit nonsense?
Mm.
No, you something is seriously wrong with you if you believe that. These people have studied their entire lives to serve others, to save lives. And now they are willing to give up everything that they've worked so hard for to save lives. So it is time for you to open your eyes. If you studied your whole life to save lives, and now you are willing to walk away from your career to further save lives, only standing on the truth. It's very simple. You know,
you know,
and people need to stop being in denial. And the problem is that people feel stupid, and nobody likes to feel stupid.
Mm.
There's a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is barely ever the fault of any individual. Okay, it's almost always from a lack of information. Now, whether that information is oppressed, or you don't know where to find it, or you don't know how to comprehend it, that can be debated. But it's a lack of information. Stupidity is when you are supplied with information from valid and valuable sources, and you choose to ignore it.
Mm.
So to everybody out there who feels cheated, it is not your fault. But we have a civil obligation to one another, a human obligation to one another, to ensure each other is safe,
Barry.
To take care of each other's lives.
Yes, Steve.
That's called nescience.
Mm.
You can see the truth in front of you, and you're willfully ignoring it. It's called nescience.
Yeah. And cognitive dissonance.
It is. Well, and it's never have we seen it so obvious in a society where, you know, really, Kelly, if somebody really wanted to find out some of the negative information that we're talking about right now, and they went on the internet, it wouldn't take them long to find all kinds of information contrary to what the mainstream is telling them. And I say to people, as responsible adults, that is essential that you take some time away from the hockey games and the football games or whatever is distracting you in your life, and to look at this other information. Because if you do, you'll get a real answer and a logical explanation of what's going on, and you'll be able to make an informed decision. Informed consent has been thrown right out the door. They are violating every code of the Nuremberg Codes that we signed on to in 1947, the Geneva Convention, the Helsinki Accords. Kelly, any document that supports human rights since the Second World War is being stomped on, and nothing is being said about it. We've got to get them accountable. Go ahead.
Well, we need to enforce the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That's what we need to enforce, because all the rest of these codes and these policies and these acts and pieces of legislation are nothing. They're nothing. They're nothing because they belong to a fictitious corporation, and they're made to act like law. But the law that really exists is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and we must start enforcing it. So, you know, we need people out there to start being blunt. You want to draw people to the truth? You need to show them the truth, regardless. Like, I did a video on my Instagram, and it shows a classroom in China where one of the students is being beaten horrendously by the teacher. And it is very hard and very difficult to watch. and it immediately went viral all over. And people can follow me on official Kelly Wolf, or this particular video was posted on Real Kellyanne Wolf. And you can view this video now. But the most important part of this video, as horrendous as it is to watch, and I mean, it is very difficult. I cried my face off when I saw this, is the fact that the other students in the classroom have no reaction. And therefore, that is normal. And I posted this video to give a little bit, a tiny bit of insight into what our Indigenous went through in the residential schools. Because the truth is this. What Canadians are experiencing when it comes to the oppressions and restrictions and disgusting abuses that are happening to our children right now is how it began with residential schools. So this is only, you know, and this is a country that our prime minister has openly said that he admires and is openly working with and allowing their military to perform, you know, on our land.
Well, he's committed so many acts of treason. He should be in jail. He should be in jail for the next 200 years, the acts of treason this man has perpetrated against Canada. And yet we hear nothing. We hear crickets from the RCMP. Well, why is that, Kelly? We know. Listen, Brenda Leckie, go ahead.
Our people need to realize that our government has known since April 12th, 2020, that asymptomatic people were neither threatened by or capable of replicating the virus, any of the pathogens that were collected. You can see this information for yourselves at www.freedomforumcanada.com/background_information. The repository report that was submitted to the government on April 12th that contains this information, I believe on lines 210 to 216, is outlined right there, and you can view it with your own eyes. And it also contains information to show that the government of Canada had a cure since May 5th, 2020 for all symptoms of all coronaviruses, of which they withheld from the public's knowledge in order to contract and make deals with pharmaceutical companies that were guilty of killing over 500,000 children with polio vaccines in Africa and India. And you can look up this information and you'll see fact checkers saying that this has been debunked. But I urge you to go onto the Pakistani Department of Defense's website and look for this information, because these fact checkers are therefore claiming that the Department of Defense for an entire nation is lying. That is a very heavy accusation to make.
Problem is, how many people are actually going to take time to go do that, Kelly? You know, but in the same mouthful,
people need to start pulling up their socks.
Yeah,
they need to pull up their socks.
Yeah,
and file paperwork. Pants.
I agree.
Put on your big boy pants and your big girl skirts and go file that paperwork.
Well, you know that, Kelly, our legal systems are corrupt to the core, but I still maintain that if our legal systems are bombarded with enough people filing class action suits against the government in all different aspects, that we might get mainstream attention and we might be able to expose to Canadians what is actually going on, whether any of them actually fruitioned into, you know, legitimate court cases. I don't think that would be important. What we need to do right now is get the Canadian public aware of exactly what's going on in this country. We're not going to be able to do it through the mainstream, so we've got to come up with some other ways. And your site there, I urge people to go look at it. I just had a look at your site there, Kelly, and I'm impressed. So people, please go look. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah. I'm very happy with Freedom Forum Canada. I mean, myself and my partner, Chuck Black, started this media company a little over a year ago. And we are now, we're extending internationally. So, yeah. I mean, people are viewing Freedom Forum Canada from Australia, from India, even Africa. And it's fantastic. And we've got contributors, independent media companies contributing to us from all over Canada. And this is all factual, real information. You guys won't find any sugar-coated stuff on there. You'll also be able to view live coverage of the protests that take place all over the country.
Yep.
We just made a deal with a brand-new broadcaster. And we have our own custom broadcast software. And it's pretty fantastic. And we're going to be employing that over the course of the next month or so. And we'll be able to live stream on multiple platforms across the entire country, live, which is going to be fantastic. So from multiple platforms onto other multiple platforms, which will be fantastic.
Yeah, Wayne's doing the same thing right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he's working with us, right?
Yeah, I know he is. Yeah, I know he is.
We work very closely.
Yeah, I sat on the on Tuesday nights. They have a round table there, and I've met Chuck Black. And what a great guy, Kelly.
Yeah.
What a really good man. So
yeah,
I'm applauding what all these people are doing right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, Chuck is he's my brother in arms. So he's my partner in Freedom Forum, and he's one of my closest confidants and friends. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud to work with Chuck. So and with the Canadian Democratic Defense Association, obviously we're working hand in hand with Freedom Forum. And we just had the senator pledge $125,000 to start us up properly. So a portion of that will be infused into Freedom Forum Canada in order to develop proper news stations. And the senator, and that's just the beginning pledge. So I'm also working in partnership with the Canadian Voters Association and a lady that's named the most dangerous woman in politics. Her name is Carrie Simpson. She works out of BC.
Yeah. She's on my show next week, guys. Yeah. She's on my show next week. So
she is. She
what
is
a
phenomenal.
Great woman she
this
is. Oh, was, she is something else, yes. Kelly. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I talk to Carrie on a regular. I love this woman.
Oh, so do
I. And for those of you out there who might not know who she is, from 1997 to 2001, Carrie was single-handedly responsible for de-seating the entire NDP and kicking communism out of Canada. And they had 74 seats. She left them with two. We are taking her methods, and we are going to apply them on a nationwide scale.
Wow. Well, there you go, folks. So, next week, you got to tune in. You got to tune in because Carrie Simpson's joining me next week. I had a chat with her yesterday for about an hour, Kelly. And what an incredible lady
she's doing
right now. What she's doing right now, just kudos to her. We don't have time to go into all of it, but she's pushing back in ways that just is absolutely inspiring. So I'm looking forward to talking to her next week, Kelly. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's wonderful. She just sent me a letter that she served to the Lieutenant Governor of British Columbia.
Yep.
And the Attorney General of to the Attorney General of British Columbia, and it's a wonderful letter. So we're taking that, and we're using it as a template and refashioning it, and we're going to be serving Ontario. The Attorney General's here in Ontario, and I want to send one to the Canadian Attorney General as well, to David.
She's going after them hook, tooth, and nail right now. And I can just say, hey, Carrie, I absolutely applaud what you're doing. The woman is a warrior.
She's amazing.
She is.
I love Carrie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to her.
It's so funny because since I began, I've had so many people, like backbenchers, tell me that, and I had no idea who she was, and backbenchers tell me right since we began at Queen's Park in the beginning that I remind them of Carrie Simpson. So it's so funny that we're in touch now and working together. I'm doing a full partnership with her.
She's awesome. And thanks for plugging her because people, you got to tune in next week and listen to Carrie Simpson. She is a firecracker, to say the least. You know, Kelly, we're down
sure
to the last couple. I will. I'll post it for you next week. And, we're down to the last couple of minutes here. The hour went really quick, and I really enjoyed talking to you again. I hope we can do this again in the near future. I'll get you to share the last couple of thoughts with people before you go, a couple of websites, and I'll have to say goodbye for now.
Yep. Perfect. Well, to everybody out there, the only way that we are going to solve this problem is to stand together, and if you're going to truly support freedom, then you have to learn that our differences, no matter who we are, is the very thing that sustains our existence as a species. And we need to come together in order to sustain our existence as a species because our children are being murdered right now. So I would ask everybody out there to take the information, freedomforumcanada.com/background_information. We are all essential.ca, ethicsoverfear.com, themissiscanada.com, and learn. Start to learn how to defend yourself. You can follow me on Instagram at Real Kellyanne Wolf or at Official Kelly Wolf. You can follow me on Facebook under Kelly Wolf or Danis Katori, DanisKatori, which is my Indigenous name. And it means daughter of the spirit, which is wonderful. And to everybody in Alberta that might be listening, get out to the Edmonton legislature. I will be there this weekend. I will be there on Friday. We expect to have thousands of people coming in from Calgary on Saturday, and you can use all the support possible. So get out there. We plan on sitting down with military and having a discussion on behalf of Canadians with our with all of our chiefs and clan mothers as well. So you don't want to miss this. Get out there, support Patrick King. Log on to Real Pat King on Facebook and watch those videos. Today he interviewed an entire hospital staff just 2 days ago. He's got he's got all kinds of people on there today.
Putting out incredible stuff. He is, Kelly. Hey, listen, Edmonton's only 14 hours away from me. You got me thinking. You really do. Listen, I'm going to have to let you go,
Kelly. Well, bury me there.
I would love to, Kelly. I would be a dream come true to come down and hug all you guys. That would be like the number one experience in my life, and you're only 14 hours away. So, hey, Mike Kennedy, if you're listening today, let's go for a drive. Anyways, Kelly, I got to let you go, my dear. Thank you. I love you, and we'll get you back real soon if you'll oblige me.
Love you, too. Thank you guys for having me. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye for now. Back on the air?
Yeah, we're on right now.
I'll just end the show today.
Yes. That's fine, Barry. We're on air, so go ahead and end it.
Okay, guys. Well,
explain why. Explain why.
I have, huh?
Explain why.
I'm not able to get Patty Walking Turtle, and I'm not prepared here at the last minute to dig anybody else in for the last hour. So I'm going to end the show for the week. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to do that to you guys.
Well, you're having computer issues too. It's been dropping on you.
I'm also having computer issues that keeps it's not allowing me to mute out. I have a window that keeps popping up my screen. So, you know, guys, I got a really good show lined up next week for you. So I will be back next week, same time, same place. I'll have to say goodbye for this week, but, thanks for tuning in and, hope we brought some good information to you today, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.